This morning on the Let the Bible Speak program, I'd like to address the subject of parents, children, drugs, and the Bible. We live in a world where there are many people who are damaging their lives and the lives of others with drug use. We live in a drug culture. And I'm not just talking about bad drugs or illegal drugs, but good drugs as well, those that might be prescribed and for a good use, but are misused. Consider all of the drug commercials that are on TV. Consider the large amount of illegal drugs that are pouring in across our borders into this country every day. Drugs are a menace to society, and I'm talking about the misuse of them. And I've entitled this morning's lesson, Parents, Children, and Drugs, because as we're going to see, at the end of the lesson, we as parents need to take our part in the responsibility for this problem. We lose young people and others in our community almost on a daily basis to drugs. And we've seen that happen in our community even recently. Young people who will put things in their body and destroy their lives. And I feel for the families of those who have lost young ones. I'm sympathetic. I'm moved by that and bothered by that. At the same time, we also need to be responsible for what is going on. And sometimes when bad things like this happen, we want to shift the blame onto someone else rather than on ourselves. I've been hearing lately about the heroin epidemic in our nation, and some so-called scholars on this topic are calling drug abuse or illegal drug use a disease. And they are framing it in the context of a disease. And friend, basically what that does is it lessens the responsibility for the person who is doing it. I believe there are a few individuals in life that are born with this problem, and that would be babies that are born to a mother who is on crack cocaine or a mother who is on heroin. These babies are born with that drug in their blood system and they get it from their mother. And they have to be slowly weaned off of that at birth or they'll die. I understand that limited scenario, but that aside, when a person is on drugs and taking drugs, it's not a disease in the sense of an illness that you're born with or that you get somehow that you didn't want. It is a choice that people make. Friends, it is a choice that people are making to harm themselves with drugs. And that's the kind of situation and scenario that I want to talk about this morning. As I've said, we live in a drug culture and it's all around us and we need to address it. We're not talking this morning about the proper use of drugs which heal. I have taken prescribed drugs before that heal. We're talking about drug abuse. We're talking about the illegal use of drugs that harm or drugs that do good, but we take them in a way that harm us, whether they're prescribed or non-prescribed. We're talking about the non-medical use of drugs that harm our mind and our body. We're talking about addiction. We're not talking about the proper use of legally prescribed drugs. And when we use them properly and the problem is solved, then we stop using them. We're not talking about that. We're talking about addiction and the misuse of drugs. And even if a harmful drug like marijuana, and it is harmful, if a harmful drug like marijuana is made legal and prescribed, it doesn't make it any less harmful. We're seeing more and more states prescribing marijuana and more people are taking marijuana. That use of marijuana went down for a while. It was very high in the 1960s and early 1970s and it went away, not in the sense of completely, but the level of use went down during the decades of the 80s and 90s and early 2000s. But we're finding now that it's on the rise again because we are legalizing it in our country. And marijuana is actually what has been called by authorities a gateway drug. It's not addictive like cocaine or heroin. It does give side effects to the mind and to the body. It alters the mind and body. but it gives a person a high, and it's a gateway, it's a door into other drug use. We're seeing today those who are on cocaine, barbiturates, which are sedatives. Valium is a prescribed drug, but it ends up being misused. People want to sedate their mind and body. Amphetamines, this would be the opposite of sedatives. These are stimulants. These give a person a high. It gives them an extra burst of energy, but in a way that harms their mind and body. Meth would be a good example of an amphetamine. Hallucinogens, man-made drugs like LSD. Narcotics. Narcotics comes from the Greek word narco, meaning to sedate or to deaden. And so drugs that are prescribed and sometimes misused for pain. And heroin is a narcotic. Or inhalants. We sniff, we inhale, we drink, we digest some sort of substance that is harmful to our body. Paint, fuel, glue, aerosols, etc. These things are not meant to be in the mind or the body. And you know what? It's interesting. We have two drugs that are legalized and very popularized in our nation. And because of that, we don't think of them as being drugs, but ethyl alcohol or alcohol that is drunk, and tobacco with nicotine. Nicotine is a drug. It's induced into the product by the manufacturer. And when it gets into the bloodstream, it makes a person crave that nicotine more and more, and people get hooked on tobacco that way. It is a drug. It alters the mind and the body, just like alcohol does. Alcohol is a sedative type drug. It brings the body down. It lowers the mind and body reaction time. And just because these are legalized doesn't make them any less harmful to the body and the mind. But we see alcohol all over our culture, and tobacco as well, especially in this county. But these things harm the body and the mind. And there's no question that they do. We don't have to call in any kind of experts. We don't have to call in any kind of scientist or medical doctors. It is just common knowledge that these things harm the body and the mind, and they often do so starting with small amounts, and then of course the person gets hooked on them, and then they engage in larger amounts. Someone might be listening this morning and say, well, he's a preacher, he's a minister, he's not a scientific expert, or he's not a medical doctor, and that type of thing. But we don't need those types of individuals on this particular subject, because it's readily available information to all that these things are harmful. But just take a common sense approach to these things, friends. When you put things like this into your body, immediately the body rejects them the first time you put them in. The first time you take a drink, the first time you take a smoke, you're coughing, you're hurting. Sometimes a person will take a drink and they'll throw it back up. The body is saying, this is not for me. And especially in the matter of smoking tobacco, you find that very kind of thing. And these other kinds of drugs, our body will go into convulsions. It will go into other kinds of symptoms that are saying, I don't want this. But we keep putting it in our body, and then our body becomes accustomed to that. But just a common sense approach to this would say, I'm not supposed to put this in my mind or my body. Why do people find themselves on drugs? Well, let me list the popular reasons. Number one, a bad example of somebody around them, maybe a family member or a friend. Like I said, we live in a pill-oriented culture. We live in a drug-oriented culture. It's everywhere. And there are those around us, family and friends and neighbors, and they might be a bad example on us, and we might do it because of them. Number two, there might be pressure from peers to conform. We're sitting around and others are doing it, and they're wanting us to do it. And we haven't taught our children how to say no to these kinds of pressures, how to have an inward self-worth and value and character and a relationship with God where they can easily just say no to this. They're so pressured to fit in and feel good with others that they say yes. And so the power from pressure to conform. Number three, some people want to put things in their mind and body just to escape some unpleasant problem or circumstance. Maybe they're having family problems, financial problems, health problems, mental problems, other kinds of things. And this is a way to escape for a brief period of time. And I say brief because our problems never go away when we're on drugs. They're still there. The drug might just keep us from having to deal with it for a while, but all we've done is add another problem to those that we already have. And friend, let me say that in my personal life, I've had various kinds of things come up that are stresses and strains and pressures, physical problems, other kinds of problems with work and family and other issues. There are all kinds of things that we have to deal with, but I don't turn to drugs for the solution. I was raised from a young age to handle problems and things like that in the right way, especially with God's Word and in a right relationship with God. But when people don't have that, when people are not taught that, then they just turn to what they know, and often it is the drug around them. But to escape unpleasant circumstances, extreme pressure situations, or sometimes they want to alter their emotions. They want to change their senses. Some want to escape reality. They just want to go off in a fantasy or dream world for a while. They want to gain some pleasure through this, or they want some easy solution to a problem in their life. Number four, some people engage in rebellion. They just don't like others around them, and so they're protesting against something. It may be something of their parents or teachers or law enforcement, or the boss, or a spouse, etc. And so they're dissatisfied. They don't like something that is going on. And this is their way of lashing out and saying, I'll show them. I'll just do something that hurts myself and others around them. Number five, some people get hooked on drugs because they started with a legitimate medical treatment, but now this has turned to some addiction. And there are a number of painkillers that are prescribed after we have some kind of a surgery like Vicodin or Percocet. And there might be some legitimate minimal use of these things, but after prolonged use, a person comes back to them even when the illness or the treatment is over with. And then last of all, sometimes people will do things just simply out of curiosity for some new and trending thing. You know, there's all kinds of things even on the internet. People look up things on the internet, how to mix certain things together, certain ingredients to make something in order to have a particular kind of high or a particular kind of experience. And then that gets passed around, and it gets passed around at school and friends and on the internet and Facebook and different kinds of social media. And then here's a person who reads about it, sees it, and they want to try it. You know, they're curious, and sometimes it messes up their life greatly, even the first time. And so we need to get all the facts about the dangers and problems of drug abuse. We need to be informed. But as we're going to see in just a minute, we need much more than that. We need biblical principles in our life. We need to learn how to deal properly with problems. We need to be aware of the symptoms of somebody who's abusing a drug so that we can help them. And I'm all in favor of our law enforcement programs. We have DARE programs, and we have other kinds of educational kinds of programs. And I believe all of these things are great. But friend, listen to me very carefully. As a parent, as a friend, we need to be helping each other, and especially those on drugs, with biblical principles. All of the DARE programs are not going to help. Just saying no, that alone is not going to help. We've got to have more, and that is biblical principles from God's Word. And you know what? They don't cost anything. We don't have to raise any money for any kind of awareness. We don't have to have any special kind of government programs or city programs or volunteer programs. These are principles that come from God's Word. They've been around thousands of years, and they're free. We just simply need to get back and open up our Bibles. Now, what are we talking about? Friends, I'd like to spend the rest of our program looking at several biblical principles that will help us to stay away from the drugs that hurt our minds and our bodies. Number one, We are not to be enslaved or addicted to the wrong things. The Apostle Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 12, he says, "All things are lawful for me, but not all things are expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any." And then he talks about eating, and then later, in the next verse, he talks about the body is not for fornication. I am not supposed to be using my mind and my body in a way that I might be addicted to something or enslaved in something. And that's a great principle. If I'm enslaved to something, then I continue to go back and engage in that in a wrong way. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 6 and verse 16, "To whom you present yourselves as servants or slaves unto obedience, his servants you are whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness." And so we are enslaved by this. And we all know that, and it's not, it doesn't take rocket science to know that drugs are addictive. We want to come back and do them over and over again. The only person we are to be enslaved to is Jesus Christ. Paul writes many times how that we are to be servants or slaves of Christ, but certainly not to the devil and to the world and to drugs. We're not to be addicted or enslaved. And so many people are, and they have to just come back over and over again for that next puff, for that next needle injection, for that next smoke, for that next drink, or whatever that thing is. And we're not to be enslaved. We are to be free in mind and body to be used for the Lord's service. And that's our next point. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 12, Paul wrote that he would not be enslaved to anything. And then a few verses later, notice what he said in verse 19, 1 Corinthians 6, 19. "Or know you not that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit which is in you, which you have from God, and you are not your own, for you were bought with a price. Glorify God, therefore, in your body." The second biblical principle is that drugs affect the body and the mind, and we are to keep our bodies pure and useful in the Lord's service. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 12 and verse 1 that we are to use our bodies as a living sacrifice to God. Our bodies, not just our mind. Somebody says, "Well, you know, if you want to be religious and you want to go to church and you want to worship God, that's something you do with your mind. The body, that belongs to you and you can use it any way you want." No, friend, the body also belongs to God. He gave us both our body and our mind, and we are to use those in the Lord's service. Glorify God, therefore, in your body. And when we're filling it with drugs and alcohol and nicotine, we are not using our body in the Lord's glory. We are tearing it down. We are killing it. And every day people go to their grave dying of things that are the result of them ingesting liquids and smokes and drugs throughout their life. They are now reaping the consequence of it. And many people just simply don't want to speak plainly about those things. But friends, we speak plainly because we love everyone. We want to help everyone. And sometimes plain speech is what is needed. These things are killing us and we need to stop it. A third principle that's very important along these same lines: we are to love God and serve Him with our mind and our body. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 22, when he was asked, "What is the greatest of the commandments?" And he said, "To love God with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your mind. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind." And in Mark's account, in Mark chapter 12, Mark adds, "and thy strength," which would include, of course, the body. We're to love God with our body and our mind and use it in His service. And friends, when we're pumping it full of things that kill us, we're not using our bodies for the Lord's service. But as parents, we need to be teaching our children these biblical principles, and when they grow up, they will not be tempted with drugs. There are many, many people who have gone through life not affected by drugs and alcohol and smoking because they were taught these principles from birth and youth. But in our nation, We've gotten away from these things. More and more families, they're not church going. They're not hearing biblical principles. They have Bibles laying around, but they're not opening them. Some don't even have Bibles anymore. They're not taking their children to Bible class and Sunday school. And they're not learning these biblical principles. And so when they get old enough and they're around these kinds of things, they just fend for themselves and use whatever human wisdom they might have or what they're getting from their friends. And of course, we know that wisdom is just simply take these things. It's okay. It's not a problem. We are leaving God out of our home and family, and we're seeing the effects of it in this drug problem and other problems that we're having in our society. They are directly related, friends. There's a direct correlation between removing God's word from my life and having more and more problems in my life. And so we've got to get back to these things. And if I can help you to do that, if we can study these things, if we can talk about these things in your home, let me do that. I would be glad to do that. And I would be glad to try to help anyone. If you know of someone who is on drugs, contact me. I will try to help them. But one thing I'm going to do is help them with biblical principles. That is the only way we're going to get this out of our life. Let's look at a fourth principle that is found in God's Word. Drugs affect the mind, and we are to keep our minds sober. In Titus chapter 2 and verse 5, we are to be sober-minded. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 13, we are to control our mind and be sober. But drugs dull the mind. They alter the mind. They change the mind. And we are not in our right senses. We're not using the mind that God gave us to take care of ourselves and really to be thinking about Him and having a right relationship with Him. We are temporarily out of our mind when we're on these things. And so every New Testament passage that teaches soberness is a passage against drunkenness and any kind of thing that would dull the mind. We are not to be drunk, Romans 13 and verse 13. And when we think of drunk, of course we think of alcohol. But there are ways in which our mind is sedated, clouded, changed, altered, and we are not in control. And so a fourth biblical principle is we are to keep our minds sober. A fifth principle that is very important is that true happiness is found in serving the Lord in the right way, not drug abuse. Somebody says, I want to be happy. I want to have a good time. And this particular drug, especially if they are stimulant types of drugs, they give me a high. They make me feel good. They make me feel powerful. They make me feel like I want to go out and have a good time. But that is a man-made joy. That is a drug-induced joy. And that's not the kind that the Lord wants us to have. In John chapter 13, let's consider what Jesus said in John chapter 13 and verse 17. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. The blessed, happy life is following Jesus and His Word, doing what Jesus wants. That's what makes us have joy. Paul said in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4 that we are to rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. And the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall guard your hearts and your thoughts in Christ Jesus. Joy and peace, having the right attitude in life. It all comes with a right relationship with Jesus Christ. It is not man-induced through some sort of chemical alteration to the mind and to the body. Here's another principle that we need to think about. Number six, when hard things come our way, we endure them and we're made better for them. We don't try to escape problems. We go through our problems and it makes us better. It matures us. It makes us a stronger person. It builds character in our life and it allows us to help others. But the drug scene is all about escaping our problems, not wanting to go through our problems, trying to get away from our problems. But that's not what Paul wrote to I'm sorry, what James wrote to his readers. Turn with me to James chapter 1. James chapter 1 and verse 2, count it all joy, my brethren, when you fall into manifold temptations or trials, knowing that the proving of your faith worketh patience. When we're proved and when we're tested, it makes us a steadfast person. Verse 12, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he hath been approved, that is, shown to go through this and tested, he shall receive the crown of life. We go through it, friends. We don't try to avoid it. And we don't try to seek some sort of escape. Number 7, we need to turn to God in times of trouble. We don't turn away and just simply turn to drugs. In 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7, the New Testament teaches that we'll have problems. We have problems, physical problems, marriage problems, financial problems, problems at work, other kinds of things. We're going to have problems. But Peter said, 1 Peter 5, 7, that we cast our care on God, for he careth for you. 1 Peter 5, 7. And so go to him in prayer. We serve him. We follow his word. We gather ourselves around other Christians who can help us. We have places to turn when we're in trouble. Absolutely. But it's not drugs, friends. That's just adding more trouble to the trouble that we have. Turn to God in these times and he will help us. Turn to drugs, it just causes all kinds of other things. We're hurting ourselves, we're hurting others. We might start engaging in theft. We've got to steal in order to get the money for the drugs. So now we're stealing and we're lying. We're hurting our bodies. It just gets worse and worse and worse. And a lot of times, when adults are doing this with other children in the home, they're just hurting their children also as well. They're putting them in harm's way. And a lot of times people will go out and satisfy their drug habit and they won't even take care of their children with regard to food, shelter, and clothing. And they're going to be held accountable for all of that in the judgment day. Turn to God in trouble, not to drugs. And then one last principle, and that is we're not to break the law by doing something illegally. In Romans chapter 13 and verse 1, and in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 13, we are to obey the laws of the land, and that would certainly involve taking things that are illegal and improper for us. When we're doing those things, we're violating the law of the land, and we're also violating God's word, who says to follow the laws of the land. Parents, are you teaching your children these biblical principles? Teaching your children that they're made in the image of God, Genesis chapter 1, 27 and 28. Are we connected with our children to teach them these principles? Proverbs 29:15 says that a child left to himself will bring shame to his mother. There are many parents who are not even around. They're gone because of divorce. They're gone because they're working all the time. They're deadbeat dads and people who have abandoned the home. And children that are just by themselves, they're not being given the help that they need growing up with these principles. Some parents are too permissive and they do not control their children's environment, whether it be their friends, movies, music. In Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 10, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. In other words, say no. 1 Corinthians 15:33, evil companionships corrupt good morals. We've got to control the environment that our children are in and constantly be watching that as parents. We have to be zoned in and be in the here and now with our children. And then last of all, we need to be teaching them these biblical principles. Proverbs 22:6, raise up a child or bring up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Bring them up fearing God, knowing God, loving God, serving God, and that's going to help them. Just saying no, that's not enough. We have to have these biblical principles in our life. I hope that this has helped. And friend, if you know of someone that needs help with drugs, please contact me so that we can get together and help them. Thank you for listening and have a good day.